If you would, take a moment to look at your hands. You know, those things at the end of your arms. And look at the palms, the back. Look at it again. Your hands may be young, or they may be older. They may be smoothed or wrinkled or somewhere in between. Your hands may be soft or calloused. Your fingers may be long or short or somewhere in between. Our hands are an extension of almost everything we think or do in this life. So I want to invite you on a journey with me this Mother's Day. Perhaps your journey is young or old or somewhere in between. It may be a story that is soft or hard. Your journey may be long or short. It may be a story that you revisit frequently or try to think of as little as possible. And yet it is a journey that all of us take, because all of us have mothers or someone who mothered us. On this sixth day of Easter, John's gospel introduces the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with us always as a helper, a comforter, a healer, who will abide with believers forever. We are reminded that our love for Jesus is shown through the keeping of his commandments. This part of John's gospel is yet another part of what is called the farewell discourse, a discourse in which Jesus offers his final instructions, promises the coming of the Holy Spirit, and prays for his disciples before his passion. So if you were to look at Jesus that night, you might see someone ready to fulfill the scripture, ready to return to the Father, and ready to send the Comforter to his disciples, ready to contrast his love for all with the pervasive hatred in the world. Now, if you were to look at her, you might see a woman who seems frail and weak. If you were to hold her hand, you might see joints that are swollen and stiff. But you might not see the young hands that belong to the North Carolina farm girl, the same hands that held the reins of the horse pulling the heavy hay wagon, the same hands that held the large draft horse next to the fence while her brother and two sisters climbed on so that they could all ride to school together. Those are also the hands that planted the corn, which was her family's source of their meager income. She once told a story that her father had instructed her to continue to plant corn all day, as long as she had seed corn in the bag which hung from her shoulder. One day, upon reaching the end of a row, she noticed a large flat rock. She looked to see that her father wasn't looking, lifted the rock and poured the seed corn underneath the rock and replaced it, certain that the corn would never grow. But it did, and flipped that flat rock over as it grew. Her father remembered that she had planted that row, and so next season he had her plant corn every single day while he watched her carefully. If you were to look at her, you might see a woman who seems old and tired. If you were to hold her hand, you might see fingers worn by the work of a lifetime. You might not see the hands of a young Army second lieutenant surgical nurse that cared for the wounded Allies and Germans alike, in the desert of North Africa during World War II. These are the hands that cared for the casualties of war, and the very same hands that prayed every night for peace. These hands assisted surgeons, stitched incisions, changed bandages, and soothed the dying. These are the same hands that wrote a Dear John letter back home before they joined those of a young Navy commander in marriage. I can only imagine that she clapped her hands with joy when she got pregnant. Yet those same hands must have clutched the bed rails in sorrow when her first child was stillborn. You see, the one thing Jesus was not quite ready for was leaving his 11 remaining disciples without first promising them that they would never be alone. The instructions Jesus gave and the promises he made to his disciples might be closer to what a mother might continually offer her children. More about a mother's love. About a mother's love than about someone ready to sacrifice themselves in order that others might be saved by the love that will always overcome hate. And yet, when you really think about it, isn't that exactly what real mothers do? Isn't that exactly what those who truly mother us do? They sacrifice themselves so their children can have a better life. If you were to look at her, you might see a woman who seems lonely. If you were to hold her hand, you might see dry and wrinkled skin. But you might not see the hands of a mother raising her three children in the wilds of East Texas while her husband was constantly away for work. Those hands gave baths and shooed cows from the front yard. Hands that held the silence of her devoted Quaker faith, even as she passed that faith along to her children on the front porch of their home, and tucked in those same children every night. Now, over the years, those hands probably prepared hundreds and hundreds of meals, although the task never seemed to be a pleasant one for her. She once told her children that the only reason she cooked was so they would not die of starvation. She told them there should never be an assumption, never, that the food would ever taste good or look good or that things would necessarily go together. And believe me, she meant what she said. When her children would gather, they would talk and fight. A fight would ensue over her famous green bean recipe. I'm told it goes something like this if you want to take notes. Open two cans Del Monte green beans. Do not strain. Empty into a pan and heat. Stir, but do not season. Do not drain. Serve as is. If you were to look at her, you might see a woman who seems to be in a very distant place. If you were to hold her hand, you might see lines in her palm that tell of decades past. But you might not see the hands that comforted her children when she lost her life's companion. You might not notice the hand that reaches out for her son, even though she no longer remembers who he is. You might be curious why her hand constantly moves to her wrist, until even in her confusion, she can tell you with a laugh and a smile, she's checking her pulse to make sure she's still alive. Jesus reminds himself and reminds God that he is not praying to take his disciples out of this world, because Jesus now understands, just as his mother understood, that mothers cannot protect their children from the world, but they can send them into the world, supporting them with love and following them continuously with prayer. You see, the hands of mothers know what it is to work. These hands learn early on about the responsibilities of life. The hands of mothers strive to help and attempt to heal. They bring hope about a possible peace. The hands of mothers endeavor to create a sacred space, a space not isolated from the world, but rather a sacred space that exists within the world, a space that welcomes travelers who may be exhausted by the ongoing challenge of overcoming hate with love. And mothers do so because they know that among those travelers are the children to whom they have given life. While at some point those hands may forget for whom they reach out, it should be clear to all of us that the hands of mothers will always, always reach out as long as they have a pulse. Happy Mother's Day. Amen.